This evening I want us to read the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. We've been spending some time talking about prayer in the evening services as well as doing it. And this isn't one of the traditional passages on prayer, and yet I think it has something important to teach us. Matthew 5, we're going to read the first 12 verses. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you promise to satisfy us with it if we do. Teach us to desire to be holy, to desire to obey you, and let our prayers reflect that desire. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. Teach us to love the things that you love and to hate the things that you hate and to pray in accordance with your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, the Beatitudes aren't specifically about prayer. A little later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. He teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But in these opening few verses, these declarations of blessing at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is describing the character of a disciple, what the character of the kingdom of God looks like. And so how that ought to inhabit our lives and our practices and our hearts as his people, as his disciples here on earth. Jesus says that a disciple of Jesus knows who he is. He knows his own spiritual poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They know that we are, spiritually speaking, we are bankrupt. We are impoverished, and what we need is to recognize that need, and so to go to God and ask Him to fill what is completely and utterly lacking in us, a desire for Him, faith in Jesus Christ, and so to grant us forgiveness for our sins and eternal life. Blessed are those who mourn over their sin and who seek forgiveness, and those who are meek because of it. A disciple knows who he is, and therefore a disciple, he says, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And then desiring such righteousness, a disciple accepts the consequences of it. That mercy would permeate his life, a desire for purity of heart, a desire for peace, and even persecution if it comes as a result of that righteousness, as a result of that faith. If it comes, we'll accept that. And just recently, we have had very real, very graphic reminders of sometimes what that looks like on the global stage. We have seen Christians die twice now in the matter of a couple of months because of their faith. There were reports this week that those killed on the bus trip on the way to visiting the monastery. There were reports on the BBC, I believe I was reading it, that they were pulled off the bus and given the choice either to convert to Islam by force or to die. And they chose to die. They chose to accept the persecution that comes with the pursuit of righteousness. The Beatitudes, these opening blessings in the Sermon on the Mount, center around verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for it. Jesus describes the disciples' desire for what is right, for what is good, and for what is beautiful. He describes it in terms of the way that we want food. That desire is supposed to be something that simply, by the Spirit's work, inhabits us. It's an innate desire, an innate need, just like the need to eat or the need to drink. It becomes the desire, an equal desire, for what is right and good and beautiful, for what is godly, for obedience. And Jesus says, if righteousness is what you are hungry for, you will be satisfied. You will be stuffed full of it. You can feast on it. It'll be like Thanksgiving. It's meant to direct our desires. What do you want most? In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about our desires, our thinking, our minds being renewed, being reoriented towards what is good, towards what is godly, what is righteous. The first two verses of Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We often think of renewing our minds as sort of changing what we think, that the way that our minds are to be renewed is sort of by download of good doctrine into our brains. And that's absolutely a part of it. That's true. There is an aspect of learning doctrine and being remade in Jesus' image. But it's also about changing what we want. Paul says the renewal of our mind involves discerning what is good and acceptable and perfect. It has the sense of learning what is good by putting it into practice. Our minds are renewed as we begin to desire and then to put into practice what is good and acceptable to God. And if that is the chief desire of the disciple, as Jesus says, to hunger and to thirst for righteousness, then I expect it's something we ought to pray for regularly. We've been talking about the kinds of things that we ought to pray for and how sometimes our prayers easily devolve into what I heard one of the other folks describe as an organ recital. That we pray for ours or others, you know, the body parts that are sick, right? And of course that's good. We ought to pray for those needs. But I think very often we get stuck there. And prayer is about, you know, a few people that we know that are sick and how they can be healed. and very little else. Perhaps we pray for the conversion of a few people that we know who aren't Christians. But perhaps we should think about it this way. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, one of the requests of the Lord's Prayer was, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now that is, first and foremost, it's about God providing for our physical needs, right? It's a prayer for food and our other sort of necessities that we need for daily life from God. But if Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, the things that we need to physically feast on, and he also teaches us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, then perhaps we also must pray that God would make us holy. Perhaps that prayer is just as needed on a daily basis as prayer for daily food is, bread and water and whatnot. And here's the encouragement that Jesus gives to his disciples in the Beatitudes, is that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will satisfy. It's a promise that is a prayer that God will answer affirmatively. That's a prayer that is always according to God's will. If you pray that you would grow in faithfulness and righteousness, God will give you opportunities to grow. To encourage you, I'll tell you a story, something that has happened to us just very recently. Recently, about a week ago, Katie and I had some friends over for lunch. And we talked about an idea that we had. We confessed that we are bad at knowing and loving our neighbors, our actual neighbors, the people who live around us in our neighborhood. We're so caught up with church things and school things and activities for the kids and so on and so forth that we don't know our actual neighbors very well. And there's no real missional drive in our lives. And we realized that needed to change. So we were looking for some friends with whom we could pray for our neighborhoods, commit to get to know our actual neighbors, and help each other find ways to reach into the lives of those who live next to us and into our neighborhoods. When we thought about reaching Edmonton, we often thought about going downtown to serve a meal at Hope Mission or something like that, which is an excellent thing. But we also wanted to have a faithful presence in the neighborhood where God had placed us. And we had only just recently started talking very intentionally about it and praying about it. The very next day was a school holiday. The neighbor boy from next door came over to play with our kids all day long. And then that night, we got a knock at our front door. And it was the boy and his mom coming over to say that his birthday plans had fallen through the next day. And we were invited to his birthday party in the park the following afternoon. The whole family could come. Now that relationship with our neighbors is taking baby steps forward. I don't tell you this story to tell you how great we are. I'm telling you actually that we're not. But what happened was this. We saw a place that we needed to grow in righteousness. So we prayed about it. And almost immediately, God was pleased to answer those prayers. It's going to be a long road. But I promise you, if you pray prayers like this, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to see the places in your lives where there is a need for growth, and if you pray that God will bring you forward in those places, He will answer. Prayer for righteousness is always one that He will answer. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. So let's learn to pray for it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our priorities often get sidetracked by the regular, humdrum, normal things of everyday life. But what we want, more than anything, no matter the cost, is to be like Jesus, to be remade in His image, to have our minds renewed to be like His, to see the world as He sees it, to approve and to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect, to love what you love and to hate what you hate. So we pray, make us righteous. The righteousness of Jesus is already ours by faith, and so bring our lives into a greater conformity with that reality. Make us more and more like Him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.